This morning's reading is coming from 3 John, verses 1 to 4. That's 3 John, verses 1 to 4, if you'd like to open your Bibles and follow along. The elder, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren come and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth.
Today we're going to look at the third John, and as this epistle is a very small epistle, it could get overlooked and just passed over quickly. In fact, we could read it in probably a few minutes, the whole thing. But as we look at this, even though it's small, a book of the Bible, it offers a large importance to Christians in the first century and also to us today. I guess what I'm trying to say is just because it's a short book doesn't mean it's going to be a short sermon. So as we look at this, there are a few ways to consider the book in summary. It could be considered a letter from an elder to a younger brother in Christ. It could be a letter of encouragement to continue to walk in truth. In fact, if we look at that, those four words, walking in truth, it'll be pretty much a guiding through the whole message here. And also we see a contrast in this book, a contrast of two good brethren and one evil brother. The book offers a lot to us as Christians. We can see it offers a love and concern between fellow Christians, physically and spiritually. It offers the main importance of life is that our soul prospers. We also see that it encourages both physically and spiritually, and also shows examples of church discipline and warnings that are written here. So as we look, as we looked at verse 1 and 2, we see that the elder to the beloved Gaius. And oftentimes we get bogged down by trying to identify who people are, which we do want to know, and it's proper to do so. Now, Gaius was mentioned three times in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 19 and verse 29, Acts chapter 20 and verse 4, and in Romans 16, 23. But we're not sure if this is the same man. Gaius was a common name at that time, just like we have common names here in our time. But most importantly, John wrote about Gaius as such, whom I love in the truth. As we consider this greeting, it's pertinent for us to have the same love towards one another. We should love those who are in the truth, those who are striving for the same goals and to getting to heaven, those who are living their lives for Jesus Christ. We should have a love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then as we see the greeting, we see a prayer that is offered on behalf of Gaius from John. We see the prayer is of this. He said, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. We see this prayer as a prayer of prosperity. A prayer of prosperity for things that he is involved in. In fact, all things that he is involved in. A prayer for good health, a prayer that his life on earth will be as bountiful as his soul is because he is in Jesus Christ. And as we consider this prayer, there are a few things we can take from this, from application that we can apply to our lives. One, that we should pray for each other, that we should take time in our prayers and pray for each other. We all need prayers to help us in our life. Most importantly, to help us in our spiritual life. But there is nothing wrong with praying for physical prosperity. In fact, if we have that physical prosperity and we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we have that, ultimately it should benefit the church in some way based on the good works that we can do with benefiting from the prosperity that we have as we give back to God. One of the most touching things that I can remember is this, when a man prayed for me that I would have a life of ease in order that I may focus my efforts on preaching and the studying of God's word and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's touching knowing that your brothers and sisters in Christ are praying for you. Maybe when you're in time of need, maybe when things aren't going as well as they should, but it is a good thing that we pray for each other, just as we see the example of John praying for Gaius here. And there is nothing wrong as the same is to pray for good health. No matter what we have or what our health may be, the most important aspect of our life is that our souls prosper. Just as he mentioned here, he said, I pray for these things that may happen just as your soul is prospering, just as you're having the bounty as your soul has, because he is a follower of Jesus Christ. He is one that is living his life for Jesus Christ. And this leads to the next section of John's letter. And I summarized it as walking in truth. And in this, we see verse 3 and 4. He said, "For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testify of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." You see, John, as an elder, as one who was older, and he had no greater joy than to hear about his children. And this isn't exactly maybe his physical children, but it is his spiritual children, one that he may have brought up and taught him the gospel of Jesus Christ. It may be one that he looked down his love from a man to as a child does. But he had greatly rejoiced for him. And John was very glad to hear that he was walking in truth. And as we consider this, we must ask the question, how can it be determined what truth is? We know that John was the apostle. He was following after the teachings of Jesus Christ. And he may have taught Gaius what he needed to know and the pattern that he needed to follow. And following after that pattern, we see that he walked in truth. Now, as we see, following after the pattern which he were taught by inspired men, and this John being the case in this aspect here. Now, we need to understand that these men were inspired, the ones that has given us the scriptures. And we know that Jesus made that promise in John chapter 14 and verse 25. Jesus said this, "These things I've spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all that I said." The Holy Spirit will inspire these men in the spirit of truth. And this is the truth that we now have in Scripture that we can look upon and know that when we look upon God's Word, it is the truth. In 2 Peter chapter 1, go ahead and turn there. 2 Peter chapter 1, in let's start in verse 2. Peter's writing his letter and he said, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glorious glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust." We can look upon this, and first and foremost, we can know that there is knowledge in Scripture of God. And we can look upon it and know that through God's Word, we have everything for life and godliness. That means that we have everything that we need to know to help us to live a good life, a good physical life. And it helps us also to know that we have everything we need to know to be faithful to God. If we would just take the time to grasp that knowledge, to gain that knowledge that is in God's Word. Know that God is there and He offers us promises if we are partakers. And we can be, in fact, partakers of the divine nature that is in Christ Jesus. And also it helps us to escape the corruption, the sin that is in this world, the lust that we may have for it. And that's how we get out of that. And we see the elder writing that he greatly rejoiced because of Gaius, who was walking in truth. And he was striving to live his life for God. And he came to that knowledge of God. And that's how you walk in truth, is to have that knowledge of God and then apply it to our life and be faithful to God. Now we can think of the adverse action of those who are not walking in truth. One, that he would not be have that great joy. He wouldn't have great joy if he was not walking in truth. And we'll look upon that as we go on in this lesson. There is great joy when one is in Jesus Christ. We have joy seeing others prosper, and we can have happiness, we'll call it, in seeing others prosper in life. We may even enjoy seeing our children do well in activities and other things they are involved in. And I can attest for this. I've seen my children do a lot of things. Having five children, you get that opportunity. I've seen them score goals in soccer, shoot baskets and hit home runs and spike the volleyball, do great in school and have academic achievements and all those things. But there is no greater joy than seeing my child or your child be faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be obedient to the gospel and to live faithful for them, for Jesus, live faithful there in their life. And it offers the same joys to other Christians who are assembled, who may need that boost spiritually, when they can look to their brother and sister in Christ and know that they're striving for that same goal. And we look at as John was looking at Gaius, and he had great joy because he was walking in truth. And this leads all into the reputation of Christians. And let's look at verse 5 through 8, and we look at the reputation of Gaius. He said, "Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth." As we look in the reputation of Christians, we look at Gaius here. Brethren came to John and testified of Gaius walking in truth. And what that kind of means is he was acting faithfully to the brethren and the strangers. And this strangers, as we look at here, I believe that it's just unknown brothers in Christ, brethren or missionaries that were passing through. Although, if you look at it, it wouldn't hurt the context if it's just a non-Christian here, because we know that we are to do good works to all, and as we do good works to all, we hopefully be able to teach them the gospel. But in this sense, the strangers are the unknown brethren or missionaries, is my understanding of that. And we should have this love towards others, to everybody, instruction to others. He said, "You do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God." And when we look at this, we can see supporting both the brethren and the strangers. More or less, Gaius was one who helped the brethren. He knew, and he even helped the ones he didn't know who were fellow Christians. They went forth for his name's sake. As we look at that, and this is why I believe that these are Christians that he doesn't know, because they went forth. They went from Gaius, and they went out into the world, and they went for his name's sake, preaching Jesus Christ, or teaching people about Jesus. And they took nothing from the Gentiles, meaning what he was saying, John was saying to Gaius was, you have a reputation of helping those ones that are going out in that mission field, and they don't have to go to the mission field and ask for support. If we send someone to China or India or some other mission field, we wouldn't ask them to go there and try to gain support there. We would help them on their way, send them what they need to help them physically, and give them the support that they need so they can go out and teach and preach without having to worry about those physical needs. And we see here taking nothing from the Gentiles, meaning you wouldn't go to a mission field and expect them to pay you to teach them the gospel. That's just not the way we should do it. And we, too, do the same thing. When we support missionaries, we send them out, and we support them to do God's work. And we look at this in the application for us today is, we should support such men who are fellow workers. In fact, he said, when you do this, we ought to receive such. Bring them in and help them while they're here. As they pass through, then they can go out and then and greet them and help them in their physical needs here. Then send them forth for as they do so in spreading the gospel. And when they do so, and what we do, our work here, we're joining in that fellowship, in that work, workers for the truth. Now, as we look at this, it says that we may become fellow workers for the truth. And that "we" in the Greek is very emphatic, meaning that when we support them, when we are, meaning what we should support them in doing this, and what happens is we join in fellowship with that. And as we look at this, and we see Gaius, the reputation of him, then we look at verse 9 through 10, and we see another reputation of another man. In 9, it says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have his preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malice words, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. We see he talks about Gaius and the good things and the good reputation he has. Then that word "but," and then Diotrephes, he brings him up, and he doesn't have a good reputation. He loved to be first among the brethren, among those that were fellow Christians. He wanted to be first. He wanted to be seen. He wanted to be maybe in the limelight. And that's not the way that he should have acted. We see that he also did not accept what John and other apostles said to him. We see that the apostles must have went to him and told him, you know, there's this problem that you have in your life, and you want to be first, and you want to have the preeminence among the Christians. Well, that's not the way we should act. And so they offered the church discipline, and they followed the teachings of Jesus Christ in Matthew 18, how we're to go to our brother when he is in sin. Maybe there's some things that are going right in their life. And then he probably went to the other apostles and had them go. And then he's now, as we see, he's letting the brethren know, those the church know. So they went to Diotrephes. They called attention to his deeds to the church. And as we look at his deeds here, we see they were prating against us, and that us is the apostles. And what the prating is talking nonsense. As we look at the Greek, and it's the talking nonsense against the apostles. Or it could mean unjustly accusing, harshly, with malice words, even the sense of gossip. And more than that, he was not content in just that. He did not receive the brethren. He wasn't hospital. Remember, he's kind of comparing Gaius to Diotrephes, and he wasn't hospitable like he was. He forbid those who were missionaries or traveling from one place to another, not bringing them into his home, not feeding them, even to the point of disfellowshipping them from the church. This could be their connection with the apostle. And since he was against the apostles or what they were saying, he refused those who were with the apostles. Now, this was the exact opposite as what we mentioned was the way Gaius was. And I want us to look at the application of this in verse 11. He kind of just lays it right out there. He said, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God." What he's saying is, don't imitate Diotrephes. Don't imitate his evil works, but do what is good. Do what is right. You know that it is good to be hospitable and to help those who are in need. And he says, do it and do good. Don't imitate this evil in this man. And he said, he who does good is of God. What he is saying here is, if you are going to follow God and follow his commands and do what you should in this life, you are one who is following God. But he who does evil has not seen God. He even breaks it down to that you've not seen him. You don't understand what God is. And to the point of, I think, the extreme that you've not even seen the good that he has done for you in your life. And so we see this contrast of a good brother in Christ, and maybe we can call him an evil brother in Christ. And we can look also that do not imitate what is evil, but that is good. And then we see in verse 12, Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. You see, the next person we look at the reputation is Demetrius. He had received a good testimony from all, from the brethren, from the truth, from John and the apostles, and when we see, and from the truth itself. What John is saying here is that Demetrius' actions spoke loud and clear. His reputation was good, and it stood on its own. He didn't need have a good testimony and hear this from others, but Demetrius, yes. Demetrius was the one who had a good reputation. And us as Christians, we need to have a good reputation in our life, that we can let our reputation stand on its own. And then we look at the close of the letter, verses 13 and 14. I read 13 already. In verse 14, but he said, "I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you." Greet the friends by name. As we see this, he had many more things to write. He wanted to tell him more, but he wanted to discuss it face to face instead of maybe writing more. A lot of times when you write a letter or you leave something out, maybe you'd just rather talk to him face to face, or maybe it's not important enough to take the time to talk about it now. You know, we even do that. We have email, we have text messages, and even we don't even write everything out. We use like abbreviations like BTW, like by the way, and we don't even write everything out. I don't think it's laziness. It's just sometimes it's just a way of communicating. But we're gonna talk about this when we come together. We'll speak and talking to each other face to face. Maybe more about the reputation of of Diotrephes, maybe about things that are going on in the church that he wanted to just talk to him face to face and maybe encourage him in that way. So when we look at 3 John, we can look at the love and concern between fellow Christians physically and spiritually, and how we should pray for one another and have love and concern both for their physical well-being, but most importantly for their spiritual prosperity. We should encourage one another as we journey through this life. 3 John tells of times when the church also had to discipline and when it was necessary. And he said, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good." That should be a reminder. The first two main things that we should take from this is we should walk in truth. And the second is that we do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. We look at these warnings. But the most important thing that we can look through and see is that our soul prospers. Those two words, our soul prospers. And the only way our soul can prosper is if we are in Jesus Christ and living faithful to God. And in order to do that, you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Confess that. Repent of your sins and be baptized, having those sins washed away. And living faithful for the rest of our lives. If you haven't done that this morning, I encourage you to allow your soul to prosper. Have your sins washed away by being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or maybe you have been faithful and you fell away. Maybe through the sins of this world or just neglect. The most important thing is to have our relationship right with God. And if your life is not right with God, your soul is not prospering. And if we can help you this morning, get your life right with God, whether it's being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ or repenting of your sins, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.